Melchizedek. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Holy Gospel according to John, the 12th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now, among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and they said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now, my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. When were those days, you will ask me? Did humanity reach that point and then somehow fall out of its covenant relationship with the Lord? No, we haven't seen those days yet. God is still at work in us and on us to reach this new covenant through the action of the Holy Spirit. It might be helpful for us to consider the prophet's words in the context in which they were spoken. It was sometime in 586 BC that the kingdom of Judah, the sole undefeated of the chosen people, that the people heard once again from Jeremiah. He had been warning them for years that they had strayed from God and that there would be consequences to pay. Now, the Babylonian army had surrounded Jerusalem and besieged the city. They were about to be defeated. Their institutions had failed. They were starving. They were facing oppression at the hands of their enemy. And Jeremiah announced to them, "This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel After those days, says the Lord, I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, know the Lord, for they shall all know me. From the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. You'll ask me, when were those days? Well, we're still in the midst of them. There were the days of the next 47 years when the people of Judah were in exile in Babylon, feeling that God had abandoned them. But God had just captured their attention because the words of numerous prophets hadn't been able to do so. After the Babylonians were defeated by the Persians in 538 BC, King Cyrus sent the people, led by Ezra the priest, back to the promised land to rebuild the temple and Solomon's palace and the whole city of Jerusalem and the whole of Judah and Israel, which of course was previously called the Northern Kingdom. It was after that, you'll say, that those days were. But no. Although God was still with the chosen people, they weren't able to carry out the rebuilding. They fell from faithfulness in worship, and they were unable to complete the civic revival. About 83 years later, in 445 to 444 BC, the next Persian king, Artaxerxes, sent Nehemiah, his Judahite cupbearer, to lead the renewed building of Judah. And Nehemiah succeeded in this task. So, are we in the time after those days, you'll ask? No, there is no temple in Jerusalem, is there? There is no palace. The chosen people waited for the Messiah, the descendant of King David, throughout 450 years. And they didn't recognize him in Jesus of Nazareth. They were destroyed by the Roman armies in 70 AD. Once again, the chosen people had strayed from God, and God had to grab their attention in the only way they seemed to understand. Military defeat. They were still waiting, but they still had the promise. And now we have inherited the promise to share it with them, and we're still waiting, but we still have the promise. We are awaiting the second coming of Jesus of Nazareth. God is calling us to faithfulness in worship and in everyday life. God's Spirit is at work within us and among us. What is the effect of the promise spoken by Jeremiah to us in the year, or maybe it will be 2 years, of the COVID pandemic? Was the death of thousands of people in nursing homes and long-term care facilities the kind of institutional breakdown that the people of Jerusalem had experienced almost 2,700 years ago? Is the ongoing racial violence in our country by people with less melanin in their skin against people with more the kind of institutional breakdown that the people of Jerusalem had experienced? Is our apparent refusal to share the abundance of this land with people living with less, with violence in their homelands, the kind of institutional breakdown that the people of Jerusalem had experienced? We are approaching the end of our season of preparation for the commemoration once again of the death of Jesus through crucifixion. assassination. Next Sunday, we will rehearse once again the whipsaw reaction of the people of his day, from praising him and calling out, "Save us, Lord," to calling out 5 days later to Pontius Pilate, "Crucify him." Those days that Jeremiah spoke of still had not come, but the people still had the promise. How will we live our lives so that our vision will be more effective than that of our spiritual forebears for millennia? Will we recognize God's law written on our hearts? Will we recognize the Son of God coming to earth for a second time to bring God's people to live in eternity? What will it take? Jesus gave his life to gain the attention of the people he became incarnate to save. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Jesus was that grain of wheat, and much fruit has been born through his death, resurrection, and ascension. We are examples of that fruit. So Jesus tells us, who claim to be his followers, those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me. God has walked with us through this pandemic, despite the fact that our nation chose a leader who would not protect his people by taking precautions to limit the spread of the virus and its effect. We almost chose him again. But now with a new leader, we seem to be gaining some control over the virus through vaccination. But we still have episodes of violence taking the lives of others, including most recently, Asian women, even those in their 60s, allegedly to remove temptation from a sex-addicted white man. I must ask, does this make any sense to you? I just don't understand it. Jesus has promised us, "Where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor." We are still waiting, but we still have the promise. How can we convey the urgency of God's word? How can we reach and teach our children to know the Lord? Can we find the path back to faithfulness as a people? Will we, like the Greeks, ask to see Jesus? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.